Hi, I'm Angela Davis, and you're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream my show live weekdays at 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Good morning, everyone. I'm Angela Davis, and you're listening to NPR News. On Wednesdays, I like to talk about wellness. And today, I'm looking for an answer to a couple of questions. What hurts and what is causing it? Have you noticed aches and pains that you didn't used to have before the start of the COVID-19 pandemic and the lifestyle changes that came with it? You know, things like muscle stiffness, neck and back pain, eye strain, knee issues, swollen ankles, headaches, jaw pain. Did I miss anything? Have minor conditions become more serious problems? One study found that 70% of people with chronic pain said that those conditions had worsened over the past year. Lifestyle changes during the COVID-19 pandemic have affected our mental health, but they have also taken a toll on our bodies. And this hour, I'm talking with a pain specialist, a holistic health practitioner, and a music therapist about what is causing our pain and what to do about it. I want to hear from you, too. I want to hear your stories. What hurts? Do you have aches and pains that have popped up or worsened over the past year? Call us at 651-227-6000. Again, the number is 651-227-6000. You can also tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR. Let's bring in our guest. We have on the line Dr. James Frickton. He is a pain specialist at the Minnesota Head and Neck Pain Clinic and a professor emeritus at the University of Minnesota. Good morning to you, Dr. Frickton.
Thank you, Angela. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'll enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, we're eager to talk with you. We also have on the line Rebecca Ndosi, a holistic health practitioner and a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist. She also teaches yoga and meditation. Good morning to you, Rebecca.
Good morning, Angela. It's great to be here.
Oh, we're looking forward to hearing from you too, Rebecca. Also on the line, we've got Annie Heiderscheidt. And Annie is a board-certified music therapist and a licensed marriage and family therapist. She also is the director of music therapy programs there at Augsburg University in Minneapolis. Welcome back to the program, Annie.
Thank you, Angela. Good morning to you and everyone.
Good morning. You know, I feel like we have all been so focused on protecting ourselves from COVID-19 that we really haven't paid enough attention to what else is threatening our physical well-being. So, Dr. Frickton, what are some of the health complaints that you've been hearing from patients over the past year, the aches and pains they describe?
Well, yes, the stress from COVID really has contributed to an increase in tension and muscle tension. And that's resulted in probably the most common condition that we see is a regional myofascial pain. In other words, aches and pains within the head, the jaw, the neck, the shoulders. And it is from this repetitive strain and tension that people have as a result of the stressors that they have in life. So we've seen a lot more cases come in, patients with an aggravation of their pain.
Mm. And, you know, one of the things that we've heard a lot about, people working from home, that those home setups, those home desks, you know, not necessarily what they should be. And that is contributing to more aches and pains.
Well, one of the most common causes of persistent pain is repetitive strain. And repetitive strain can come either directly from tensing your muscles and shoulders and neck, from sitting at a desk all day long, on your computer, on your cell phone. Those are things that cause this repetitive strain, and the body is just simply telling you that there's a problem, that mm-hmm. there's too much strain being placed on the muscles and joints. And as a result of that, you know, you're going to have an increase in pain and persistence of the pain also.
And when we look at lifestyle changes over the past year, we know people have been drinking more alcohol. Their eating habits may not have, you know, been what they should be. Is that also causing some of the physical pain?
Well, yes. Lifestyle factors such as dietary changes and increase in not only just alcohol, but actually sugar, carbohydrates do increase inflammation within the muscles and joints. And also a disruption in sleep patterns. So if we're staying up late and we're not getting enough sleep, or we're not getting enough exercise during the day, so you don't really rest well at night. So sleep, diet, exercise all play a significant role.
You're reminding me about sugar. I know I've done a story in the past about the relationship between sugar intake and inflammation in the joints.
Yes, that's a significant cause. And I've had patients who one single change they made was to reduce their sugar intake, and they felt dramatically better, you know, over a few days later. So it does contribute to inflammation. We just have to be aware of that.
So, Dr. Frickton, you are a pain specialist. On this show the past year, we've talked a lot about how the pandemic has made us feel more stressed and has affected our mental health. But I want to know, how is all of this connected to our physical health, our physical well-being? How does stress affect the way our brains react to pain?
Well, that's a good question. And what happens is there's pain cycles. You hear about vicious pain cycles that are set up. And what happens basically is when you're under a lot of stress, it could be emotional stress, it could be social stress, it could be the environmental stress that you have related to potentially being infected with COVID. That contributes to tension. Like, for instance, I've seen a lot of patients with clenching their teeth. I had an 8-year-old patient just the other day who was in, and she had headaches and jaw pain and neck pain. And I asked her, "Did you ever hold your teeth together?" And she says, "Yes, I do that all the time. Am I not supposed to?" And I talked to her about, no, that puts a lot of strain on those muscles. They become very sensitive. And it's the body's way of telling you that things are a problem. So it's part of this vicious cycle that occurs where you have stressors which contribute to strain and tension, whether it's tensing your shoulders, your back, your jaw. And then that results in sensitivity to the tissues, the muscles, joints, and nerves in the area. This results in pain, headaches, neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, and which causes more stress, and you get into that cycle.
Mm. Well, Rebecca, the past year really has been filled with a lot of grief and fear and anxiety for many people for many reasons. And so in your experience, what impact does that seem to have on our bodies and physical pain?
Yes, there's been such a layered experience during the last year. So the pandemic certainly is like the foundation of that. But then there's been social and political unrest. There's been just such a disruption in people's lives that there's been a lot of loss, a lot of grief, a lot of the unknown. And when that happens, we naturally go into a protective stance. Our bodies want to protect us and help us to cope so that we can survive through it. That's how we're designed. So oftentimes this can mean that we retract, like we may hunch in, our chest may kind of do the thing that we do in front of computers and screens, right? Where we hunch over and kind of collapse our chest. That's also a protective stance. It's like putting on your shell for when there's a threat. And so all of these factors create an unstable environment, and everyone's family and individual situation is different, but everyone's been touched by some deep change and challenge in this year in some way. And so our bodies really communicate, like the doctor was saying, our bodies really tell us what we need or what we need to pay attention to. And that's what I've been focusing on with people is how are we listening to what's happening instead of feeling badly about the fact that we may feel worse physically, mentally, or emotionally, or spiritually.
And so, Rebecca, in your introduction, I mentioned you teach yoga, you teach people how to meditate, you're an acupuncturist. What kinds of stories are you hearing from people, and who's calling on you for help?
Well, the biggest thing that I'm hearing is about anxiety and grief and fear of the unknown. You know, as a practitioner in the Black community in Minnesota, we've been working with police violence. We've been working with our brothers and sisters and children being injured and killed during this time, which isn't new, but it's because we've been at this pause point, it's just become so center stage. I'm working with a lot of people who have physical pain, but they're also really wanting to get their heads above water. They're wanting to not feel like they're out of control. They're feeling an increase in anxiety and worry, and coming to me to help them to sort out what it is that they can do, even if it's something small, to help them feel better.
And we've seen so many wonderful people emerge as leaders, community leaders, family leaders, folks who are trying to help other people hold it together. But those people, I think, are really struggling. I'm curious. I hear a lot of my friends talk about meditation apps, and I'm just wondering what you're seeing in terms of them growing in popularity, and how do people use them, these meditation apps?
I think that meditation apps can be really helpful because I really focus on helping people to find one thing that they can add during the course of their day that brings them into the present moment, that brings them out of the swirling that we can go to that seems endless in our heads about trying to figure out what our next move is, what's going on. And so something like a meditation app, if that's something that works for you, can help you to carve out 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes or more during the day where you can set aside a time to focus in one place and help to support your body and your overall energy. And that can work wonders towards your well-being.
They're useful. I mean, you stand by that these are useful, and people say that they've seen results.
I think they're useful for the people who for whom they work, right? So they don't work for everybody.
Right.
But for those who are app savvy and who work well in conjunction with their technology, they can be very, very helpful. Yes, I've heard that.
I'm happy to hear that. To our audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking about what hurts, physical aches and pains that have popped up or worsened over the past year as we've lived through this COVID-19 pandemic and just a time of great racial reckoning as well. I have three guests who help people manage their pain and understand what's causing it. And I'm taking your phone calls. Call us at 651-227-6000. Tell us what hurts and what have you been able to do to deal with that pain. Again, 651-227-6000. You can also tweet me at Angela Davis NPR. Let's turn to our other guest we have joining us. Annie, you're a music therapist. And what do you tell people when they come to you with, you know, questions or stories about pain?
Yeah. Well, music can serve multiple functions in helping to manage pain. And one of the things that's important to understand is that our stress, our anxiety also impact how we experience and perceive our pain. So we can use music in many different ways, and that's what makes it a really wonderful tool. And the fact that music is very accessible also makes it easy for people to make use of in their day-to-day life. So we can use music to foster relaxation or relaxation response, which helps to reduce muscle tension, slows down our heart rate, slows down our breathing rate. We can use music to foster imagery. And when we are imaging, our body responds to that image as if we're actually there. So if you, for example, imagine being at the ocean, your body is responding as if you are actually at the ocean. Mm-hmm. Music can also serve as a means of distraction. So it can pull our focus away, move it from stressful thoughts, anxious thoughts, physical pain, and it goes onto the music instead of onto those pain messages or stressful thoughts. And in that, when we're listening, music is blocking the pain messages for us so that the brain is perceiving the music rather than the pain messages that are happening within the body.
I love that. And I'm thinking, so Annie, tell me about this. I listen a lot of times to music that I really enjoyed during my college years, my, you know, late teens, early 20s, like it, you know, I feel like there's definitely a mental benefit. But I'm also, you mentioned imagery. I'm imagining, like, I remember I could dance for like 2 hours at a time, you know, or I'm imagining and I'm remembering things. And it is a distraction. I stop worrying about, like, oh, my interviews for my guests the next day. It takes my mind someplace else. So you're saying that could also help my, it takes my brain away from thinking about, like, oh, I've got, you know, neck pain.
Absolutely. So it shifts our focus, but it also is blocking those pain messages. So it's serving this kind of dual function for us in the process, which is this beautiful thing. We enjoy music. And when we are listening to music that connects to moments in our life, it can also take us back to those moments in our life. And music can be what some researchers are calling a social surrogate. It's like that friend, that familiar voice, that piece that reminds us and can be a sense of comfort when we might not be able to always be with our friends, you know, when we've been so socially distanced and isolated throughout this pandemic. Music can serve that role as well.
Dr. Frickton, before we take some phone calls, I want to ask you about that. What are you hearing what Annie is saying about music? Have you experienced that too?
Well, yes. I mean, music can be very therapeutic in many different ways. And interestingly enough, there are clinical trials that have found that creative activities, including performing music, listening to music, can be very therapeutic in reducing emotional response. For instance, anxiety, depression, anger, those emotions can be decreased with music and creative activities. It may not be only music. I mean, it may be cooking or gardening outside or art and writing something. It helps distract you, helps reduce the pain in general because your mind is focused on other activities. Now, we also, of course, focus on treating the pain. There are a lot of things that can actually reduce the pain, reduce the strain, and encourage healing and better function also. So we use a very holistic approach. We call it transformative care to integrate not only the treatments, but the training in activities such as music therapy. And I'm very supportive of it.
All right. Well, let's take some phone calls from our listeners as we talk about pain, physical pain. What hurts? Do you have aches and pains that have popped up or worsened during the past year? Call us at 651-227-6000 as we talk with guests about this and talk about what to do about it. Let's take a phone call right now in Duluth. Therese is on the line. Good morning to you, Therese. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for taking my call. During COVID, I've had osteoarthritis in my knees, but during COVID, it just bothered me more. And I had achy shoulders, and it bothered me more during COVID. So I usually go to an internist. I bit the bullet and went to an integrative health physician here in Duluth. And I highly recommend it for people. She recommended lifestyle changes like drinking more water, decrease caffeine, decrease alcohol, but she also encourage supplements. And I always have thought supplements are just a big business. And but she just encouraged me to take turmeric, glucosamine, and fish oil in these exact types and exact dosages. And it's really helped. And I can bike more now, and I can walk more, and my pain is incredibly decreased. And I have to say, I am now a believer.
That is wonderful.
And I was very cynical. Yeah.
And Therese, do you mind if I ask, how old are you?
I am 68 years old.
And so, and you feel basically pain-free now?
Yeah. Or I'd rate it at a 1, you know, after exercise and biking. And I was kayaking, and my shoulders don't hurt now when I kayak. And it's, I'm laughing because I never thought a year ago, I'd be telling you I'm taking a few supplements and they work.
Oh, I'm glad. I thank you for sharing that, Therese, there in Duluth. Her knees were hurting, her shoulders were aching, and now she is better. Rebecca Ndosi, you're a holistic health practitioner, also an herbalist. What do you hear there in Therese's story?
I hear a story of what we're designed for. So as people, people, right? As our bodies and our whole systems are always affecting, we affect every part of what is inside us and around us, right? So in going to an integrative medicine specialist, they're going to take the approach of you are a whole person. Let's look at all the aspects of your life, what's happening with those, not just your physical pain. And let's see how we can nourish and support all the different aspects of your life. And that's what I heard that happened with Therese. We're designed to heal. Our bodies are designed to heal. And we need a lot of help because we don't operate in that way in our society right now. And so supplements can be helpful for some people. But looking at all those different aspects of how we're living life, how much joy is happening in all these different areas is really important and can be extremely effective. So that's a success story if I've ever heard it.
And she mentioned drinking more water. I mean, can enough be said about drinking more water? I mean, what does it do?
Well, we need to be hydrated. I mean, we're like 70%+ water, right? And so in order for all of our functions to function in flow, and in Chinese medicine, we talk about if there's pain, that means there's a stop in the flow of whether it's blood, circulation, breath, just your energy pathways, that flow, if that gets stuck, then there can be pain that comes. And so water is a basic thing that can always help, that we can always turn to help to introduce better circulation and flow and detoxification into our lives.
You know, that's one of the best descriptions I've heard about why we should drink more water. You know, it's like, oh, something's stuck. I need to drink some more water. Thank you for that, because I'm not good about that. Let's take another phone call as we discuss what hurts. I want to know about the aches and pains you're having, because I know you're talking to your friends about it. Tell us about it. Call us at 651-227-6000 as we talk with three guests about what hurts and what we can do about it. In Minneapolis, Christopher is on the phone. Good morning, Christopher. What hurts?
Hi, Angela. It's a great honor to be on your show. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I've noticed going down and upstairs that my left knee, it's not an intense pain, but it something's happening. And I don't know if it's from not working out as much and sometimes still on the elliptical. I know that can be somebody told me that can be a bad motion for knees. And then I also have psoriasis. I've had it since I was a teenager, and fortunately it's just been on my skin, and I'm just hoping that isn't the first sign of psoriatic arthritis in a knee joint.
And Christopher, may I ask you about your diet? Have your eating habits changed during the pandemic?
Well, not quite as many fruits and vegetables, the strive for five. So not quite as healthy as I used to, but
Stay with us on the line. I'm going to ask Dr. Frickton there, our pain specialist. What do you hear in what Christopher is describing? The left knee is bothering him, and he's just wondering, is it from perhaps a type of exercise he's doing on the elliptical machine?
Yes, thank you, Christopher, for sharing your story. A lot of times joints will become inflamed or irritated for a variety of different reasons, repetitive strain, perhaps postural strain, how you're sitting, standing, using it, perhaps on the elliptical. What we want to make sure that we do in situations like that is to really make sure that the range of motion of your knee, your legs, your hips are in full range of motion. So we suggest exercises such as yoga, which you probably are doing, actually, and stretching exercises coupled with the strengthening and the conditioning. And so all three types of exercise, stretching, conditioning, and strengthening, can all be very helpful and alleviate that pressure on the knee and as well as other joints of the body. And of course, dietary factors are very important also to reduce any potential for inflammation. And there are many other factors that can play a role. But I would focus on the postural stretching types of exercises first. And that's kind of what Rebecca was talking about with yoga. So,
and Rebecca, you can attest that yoga and that movement, how that helps with a lot of aches and pains.
It can, if it's the right type of movement. Certainly there are types of yoga that can hurt you if you have a condition or some kind of weakness in your body in some place. So you want to make sure that you're guided with it. Mm-hmm. But especially the gentle, slower yoga movements can really be helpful in loosening up areas of restriction.
Mm-hmm. Before we take a news break, I want to take another phone call as we discuss what hurts and what you can do about it. The number is 651-227-6000. Let's talk to Anne in Crystal. Anne, thanks for calling in. And what hurts?
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I listened to you guys all day, but I was outside and I just cut some of your stuff. So I just want to strengthen everything I heard you guys say in the last 5 minutes or so. I had aches and pains. I'm 65. I've had gut discomfort and this and that. I went into a functional medicine doctor in Buffalo after having tinnitus start after my second vaccination. So I originally went in for that.
Tell me what tinnitus is, Anne. I'm sorry. What is tinnitus?
Oh, ear ringing in the ears.
Okay.
And so that's why I went there, but they assessed all this other stuff and suggested a paleo diet, which is no processed foods, fruit, veggies, meat, no breads, and some supplements. And I was not limited in what I did. I just thought I was destined for some discomfort every day. And I just, after being on this diet and adding these vitamins and supplements and keeping walking and moving and all that good stuff, I have so much more energy. I don't wake up hurting. My stomach is better, all that good stuff. So I just wanted to support what you guys were talking about.
So you say you no longer wake up hurting. What was that like, waking up hurting? Just like stomach problems?
Oh, yeah, everything. Just joints. My neck, my gut. I just was kind of living with a medium to mild level of discomfort, just kind of living with it and doing what I could.
All right. That's Anne and Crystal. And again, making dietary changes. She says she converted to a diet of fruits and vegetables, meats, and no breads. And Dr. Frickton, tell us about chronic pain, because she also said she just accepted the fact, I'm just going to hurt all the time. Do you hear that people accept that they have chronic pain?
Well, two comments about that. The Mediterranean diet, which is the paleo diet that you're talking about, has a lot of clinical trials that found that it's very effective in many chronic illnesses, and particularly chronic pain. And so I really reinforce, Anne, what you're saying about that. But chronic pain is a physical condition. It's not a mental, it's not an emotional problem. It is a physical, and most often it's related to the muscles and joints. And there's a diagnosis called myofascial pain, which is probably the most common condition that's related to it. But people do live with chronic pain and significantly over time. And part of that is because the wear and tear on the body in the daily activities that we do, and it's the body's way of telling us that. But also, as we get older, we do have changes within our joint structures that are remodeling, changing in shape and form to accommodate the stressors and strains that we put on that system. And so the body is there to really tell us about chronic pain, but I don't think necessarily pain has to be forever. So I've had a good example is I had an 82-year-old gentleman who was in the clinic a couple years ago, and he reported to me that he had 65 years of pain every day, and this was in the jaw, head, and neck area. And he asked me, is there anything I can do? Is this something I have to live with the rest of my life? He's already 82. And I said, well, we have to integrate a transformative treatment plan. We're happy to treat this condition, but it's also important to reduce some of the factors that are causing it over time. Are you interested? And we went through a holistic approach to changing diet exercise pattern, stretching, and we used a splint. We had them see our physical therapist. We did not use medication in the situation, and it was amazing. Within a couple of months, his pain, which was every day, went down to once or twice every couple of weeks. And it just tells me that pain, chronic pain, does not have to be a permanent lifetime thing. It could be something that you decrease with specific changes and treatments that can be very helpful.
Right now, we're talking about wellness and the aches and pains that seem to start after the pandemic disrupted our lives, or maybe they got worse. It's brought on by being more sedentary, more stress. Maybe our diets are not what they used to be. The physical toll and the circumstances of the last year on our bodies. What hurts and what can we do about it? My guests today include Dr. James Frickton, a pain specialist at the Minnesota Head and Neck Pain Clinic and a professor emeritus at the University of Minnesota. We're also talking to Rebecca Ndosi, a holistic health practitioner, a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist. She teaches yoga and meditation. And also joining us, Annie Heiderscheidt, a board-certified music therapist, as well as a licensed marriage and family therapist. She is the director of the music therapy program at Augsburg University. And the phone lines are open. We're taking your phone calls as you describe what hurts and what has worsened over the past year. The number is 651-227-6000. You can also leave me a message on Twitter. I'm at Angela Davis, NPR. And Annie, before we go to the phone lines, I do want an opportunity to talk to you more about music and how it can help us with physical pain. And you spent some time with one of our producers and selected a piece of music that we could listen to together and talk about how it can be healing. So, but first, describe what types of instruments or music have you found is helpful to folks?
Well, there's a few different things to consider. And one of the first aspects is to ensure that it's music the individual prefers. Mm-hmm. You can imagine, and we've all heard music that we don't necessarily like, and we have a response to that. And that might be some increased muscle tension. It might impact our mood. So we want to ensure that it's music that we prefer. And we all have different music interests and likes. Mm-hmm. And so trusting your own preferences is really important. When we have lots of muscle tension, listening to music on low strings can be helpful in releasing some of that tension. Strings on instruments kind of mirror muscles. The shorter the string on an instrument, the higher the pitch, which means there's greater tension in that string. And the same is kind of true with our muscles. We tighten our muscles, it means we're shortening it. We release it, and we're lengthening that muscle. So that resonance that we hear, whether a string is shortened and it's a higher pitch or lower resonance and it's a longer string, helps to resonate with our muscles and to activate our muscles to create or release tension. So it's a wonderful mm-hmm. way to kind of use the musical and, you know, music instrumentation and strings, whether that be cello, harp, guitar, helps to, those are lower strings as opposed to like a violin, which is a bit higher pitched. So those lower string tones can support the releasing of some tension for us. All right, well, and then
go ahead, Annie.
No, you go ahead. I was going to say using music around 60 to 80 beats a minute is a good slow tempo to foster relaxation as well and a good resting kind of heart rate.
Hearing you describe it, I want to hear some music. So let's play some music that you have used to help with pain. This is Haydn's Cello Concerto in C. So, Annie, explain what happens in our brains when we listen to this or something like this. How does it help treat pain?
Yeah, well, what's really wonderful to see, and if we could look at some brain scans, you know, of our brain on music, what we see is that every part of our brain is activated. And so there's so many great developments happening right now and brand new research coming out on music and the brain. And we're beginning to better understand how music is interacting with our brain. And we know now that every aspect of the brain, every part of the brain is activated when we're making and listening to music. So it's a full brain experience. It isn't just what scientists used to believe, that there was a music center in the brain. So when we have every part of the brain being occupied and activated by music, it's becoming this much more holistic experience, engaging us more deeply as a human being.
So going back to what you said earlier, in some ways it's creating a distraction. It's our brain is like, oh, let me take in all of this.
Exactly. It's shifting our focus away from stressors, from anxiety, and it's pulling our focus even away from the pain as we're listening. Our brain is processing the music, mm-hmm. and it's blocking the pain messages that our body might be experiencing.
I love this explanation. Thank you. I'm writing a note to myself to add more cello and harp jams to my playlist.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this, Annie. All right. Let's take some phone calls from listeners as we talk about what hurts. In Minneapolis, Robert is on the phone. And Robert, thank you for waiting. What did you want to share with us?
Hi, Angela. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I have a problem with anger and going to bed. And if I vocalize that anger, let's say yell, not at someone, but yell in general, I will go to bed and my neck and shoulder will lock up on me so much so that I can hardly lift my head off the pillow. And that may last for quite some time. And I'd be interested in hearing what your guests have to say about that.
Oh, Robert, I'm so sorry to hear that. So may I ask, like, what are some of the contributing factors to this anger you're describing?
Well, I had an experience that generated some anger. And I was at home alone and just yelled out loud, sort of like scream therapy, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. And but I was really angry at the time, and it was evening, and I was going to bed, and I went to bed, and I fell asleep. And then when I woke up during the night, I found my neck and shoulder in locked in place almost, it felt like, and hardly could I lift my head off the pillow. Mm-hmm.
All right, Dr. Frickton, you're a pain specialist. Any advice you would offer, Robert?
Yes, Robert, thank you for sharing that with us. It's interesting. You describe very nicely a pain cycle that occurs where it starts with anger, which creates a lot of muscle tension that carries over into the night, clenching, tensing while you're sleeping, restless sleep. And then, of course, you wake up in the morning with a neck painful and tense. And of course, during the day, that can make you even more angry. And so that cycle just persists over time. And so what we do is we try to analyze each aspect of the cycle. Of course, we want to treat the pain. We want to the neck pain with stretching, with good posture, reducing strain. Sometimes physical therapy is helpful. Sometimes chiropractic can be very helpful also. But at the same time, we want to get at those contributing factors, like, for instance, the anger and identifying what are the factors that are driving the anger. How can you forgive, you know, to release that anger so that it is something that you process through? And everybody has emotions, negative emotions, that it's like pain. It tells us situations that we like and we don't like. And so we need to be able to identify those emotions, which you have done very nicely. And then learn to shift away from that negative emotion to do something positive. And that's where sometimes creative activity, music therapy, or just talking about it with somebody else is really important. In addition to that, a calming practice like the meditation can be very helpful in sort of releasing that tension that is generated from the anger. And then, of course, sleeping well. There's a lot of things that you can do within your sleep routine that can be very helpful. Like, for instance, not watching really scary or anger-producing movies before you go to bed is a good example. Making sure that you quiet music is particularly helpful for that, doing a calming meditation, really having a good bed, a quiet room, those types of things really help and reduce that nighttime nocturnal activity that goes through. So it's a whole cycle, and breaking and analyzing and breaking down each aspect of the cycle is important. Does that make sense?
Yeah, all of our guests have talked to Robert. Rebecca, what would you say to Robert describing just, you know, going to bed at night angry and having pain as a result of that?
Yeah, well, it's a great example, Robert, of pain not being just physical, right? So with anger in Chinese medicine, anger is associated with the liver and gallbladder energy meridian. So this is a circulation of your energy that has a particular pathway that can be supported with massage or acupuncture, acupressure, or different types of therapies along this specific pathway. And when anger comes up, especially if it's really strong, and especially if it's not, if there isn't an outlet that is a resolving one where you can actually get to the roots of the anger and have it transform, you know, and move on into something else, it causes heat in your system, and heat rises, right? And the liver and gallbladder pathways of this energy meridian run through your shoulders and your neck. And when you have heat and there isn't enough circulation and nourishment in those energy pathways, you can get, I've seen this lock up in along the pathway. So in your neck and shoulders, it's quite possible that that's what's going on. And so much of the things that Dr. Fricton talked about would be things that in Chinese medicine we'd look at. The biggest thing is, what's the root of your anger? And we'd look at that. We'd look at ways to support you in transforming your anger, knowing that your emotions are not bad or negative. They're telling you something. They're a communication where you can say, okay, what is it that I need to look at right now? And we'd, again, go through all the different aspects of your life and see where some support and some shifting to support your well-being, whether that's physical, emotional, or otherwise, whatever's needed. And we'd help to support you in that way. And so it makes sense what you're saying. The biggest thing I would start with, honestly, would be back to hydration. And then looking at how to resolve the source of that anger.
And Annie, as a music therapist, as you listen to Robert describe head, neck, shoulder pain as a result of his emotional pain and anger, what advice or recommendations do you have for him?
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, as Rebecca was saying, we have a wide range and we experience this wide range of emotions as human beings. Some emotions are less comfortable than others, and we don't always like experiencing them. And those that are especially uncomfortable, we feel that we might not have all the ways and tools to work through and resolve those. And I think anger is one of them. And I think first to validate that it is one of the emotions that we experience. And so as you're feeling the manifestations of that in the body, you know, it's the body saying it is there and it needs to be released and resolved for you to come back to this place of kind of equilibrium and health. So with music, we can use music to help express a wide range of emotions. And as you talked about, you know, yelling, we can use music and singing to express those emotions. And even if you find a song that seems to relate to that emotion, you could sing along with it. You could play along with it. I might even suggest you could find a pillow and you can just play that pillow like a drum. And so not only are you getting that physical release through singing it, that expression, but you're getting that physical release through kind of playing that emotion out or stomping and dancing, you know, in expressing emotion in that way. And once you've been able to kind of have that release, and especially then as you're getting ready for sleep in the evening, again, you want to make sure that you've kind of let go of that residue of that emotion and that emotion might resurface at another point. But being able to then use music to really slow you down, to help you reach a much more deep, relaxed state, to go into a deeper sleep state. And for that, I would recommend using music that's around 40 to 60 beats a minute. It's going to help you really slow down the heart rate, slow down the breathing, and slow down your brainwave patterns to get you into that deeper sleep cycle, which then helps you achieve a much more restorative sleep experience.
Thank you. And I want to get to another phone call before our time is up. In Minneapolis, Brett is on the phone. Brett, thank you for waiting as we talk about what hurts and what to do about it. What did you want to share with us or ask, Brett?
Hey, Angela.
Hi.
I was wondering if your guests had any advice on convincing a loved one who might be entering old age and experiencing mild to moderate pain, convincing them to adopt the lifestyle changes that they've sort of talked about, with diet and exercise and hydration even.
Brett, is there someone you love that you're worried about?
Yeah, well, a few people, but my mother primarily. Mm-hmm. I've tried to convince her to exercise. She says she's not an exercise person. That's her response to that.
Right.
And her diet's not very good. And she's about late 50s. And I think I just fear that if she doesn't start changing things a little bit, her moderate to mild pain might just get worse as she gets older and
right.
might not be able to.
Well, Brett, we have about 2 minutes left, and I want Dr. Frickton to have an opportunity to offer some advice there. Dr. Frickton?
Sure. Thank you, Brett, for sharing that with us. Social support and that love and belonging within a social community is so important. And your call just reflects how critical that is to help people recover from pain conditions, as well as to make the lifestyle changes that they need to make. And so your role is critically important. We also provide, for instance, telehealth coaching for patients because it's sometimes hard to drive into a doctor or clinic. And so we have a coaching, and it's a new profession in the healthcare area that calls the patient, talk to them, provide some motivational interviewing to really help a person make the lifestyle changes they need to feel better. And, you know, there's multiple factors that play a role in the development of pain cycles, and she may not be able to do the exercises that she wants to or needs to do, but maybe there's other factors within her pain cycle that can play a role in giving her relief.
And doctor, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but our time is up. But I appreciate the advice that you and all of our guests have offered our listeners who called in to describe what hurts. Our guest again today, Dr. James Frickton, a pain specialist there at the Minnesota Head and Neck Pain Clinic. Rebecca Ndosi, a holistic health practitioner and licensed acupuncturist and herbalist, and Dr. Annie Heiderscheidt, a board-certified music therapist there, leading the music therapy program at Augsburg University. This conversation was produced by NPR's Samantha Matsumoto. Hi, I'm Angela Davis, and you just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. To add your voice to the conversation, you can call in at 651-227-6000 or tweet me at Angela Davis NPR. If you missed us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. Thanks for listening.